bringing it. And Prescott's lofting it. CD couldn't bring that one in either. Third time in the half.
Mike Tirico on last night's call. A season opening game that had a lot to it. You know, Spitz to start. Flawless offense for a half. A lightning delay that cost us an hour plus. And a close, hard-fought game that came down to a couple of mistakes that Dallas made. A fumble and a few massive CeeDee Lamb drops in the fourth quarter. Philadelphia wins the game 24-20. I don't know if you went to bed when the delay began. If you did, join the club. It wasn't my intention, but it happened. And then I got up at 5 a.m., not knowing the final score, not looking at my phone, and I watched the rest of it, the final quarter plus the final 4 minutes, 44 seconds of the third quarter. Not a bad opener. Seriously, Philly hangs on. They're 1-0. Dallas to 0-1. And man, if you listen to some of the sound coming out of the Dallas locker room, including from Jarrah, they seemed pleased with the loss. They feel like they played really well. You know what they did for the most part? Good morning, everybody. Here we are, the first full Friday football show for NFL football. Yeah, and we are packed today. Coming up here in about 10 minutes, we will start the What Will Washington Do This Year? I want a final record prediction, and I want one bold footnote to that prediction. All right, 301-230-0980. You can start lining up with your season predictions for Washington. It's your full 17-game season record prediction. You're on the record as of today. So will I be. So will Max. And one bold footnote to go with it. I'll have my keys to a win over the Giants a little bit later on in the show. We will do an NFL weekend preview highlighting the biggest games of the weekend. And there is a huge game on Sunday night. We have some sound from yesterday. Yesterday was coordinator day. I've got a smell test last week. Pretty good start, 5-1. Ben Standig will join us as well on the show. And we'll get his season prediction. We'll get his Sunday prediction, etc. So, real quickly on last night, or maybe not real quickly, that was a good football game. That was an entertaining game. Football game. First of all, I thought both quarterbacks were outstanding. I thought Jalen Hurts was near flawless as a decision maker, as a thrower, as a runner. You know, those first two touchdown runs. There's something about watching Jalen Hurts that sometimes it looks like he's at half speed, but when he needs to be at full speed, he uses that full speed and it is enough. Two touchdown rushes off of scrambles in the first half. Neither team punted in the first half. There was only one third down conversion missed. Philly was 5-for-5. Dallas was 4-for-5. It was just up and down the field. The Cowboys had four total possessions. Philadelphia had three. That's a low possession game. You get that when there's no punts, when there are no third down stops. Dallas managed the final, 30-something seconds beautifully to get in range for a field goal attempt. Man, they looked so much more buttoned up from a game management standpoint in Brian Schottenheimer's first game than they ever looked in a Mike McCarthy game. You know, Dallas always seemed to be on the wrong side of, 2-minute clock management decisions, penalties. Last night, just four penalties for 42 yards. There wasn't the plethora of, neutral zone, lining up in the neutral zone infractions that have really plagued Dallas, or they did have one delay of game, 12 men on the field defensively. That was the only sort of mindless penalty of the night. That first half, 21-20 at halftime, both teams really doing it the right way, having difficulty for sure defensively, and we'll talk a little bit about, you know, the Eagles' issue with Adoree Jackson at one corner. Man, that was a fine number eight and throw in his direction. But, you know, the game starts last night with incredible drama with Jalen Carter getting tossed before the first play from scrimmage as a fellow teammate lay on the field after the opening kickoff, and he spits in Dak Prescott's face, ejected. Now, later on in the game, we saw the other angle of Dak spitting, not at Jalen Carter, between his two offensive linemen towards the ground. But you talk about a selfish act from a defensive MVP candidate in the opening game of the year and how they felt his loss. Dallas just moving the ball up and down the field. Four possessions, four scores in the first half. Javonte Williams being able to run the football. Miles Sanders being able to run the football. He was missed. They're lucky they survived the opener without him. But God, what an absolutely selfish, stupid act by Jalen Carter. Unbelievable. They still have players, though, man. Zach Bond is special. Quinyon Mitchell is really good. Nolan Smith is good. The rookie, Jahad Campbell, had his moments. They've got really good talent. Jordan Davis, another Georgia guy, you know, up front. Philly's lucky they survived this game without him. It'll be interesting to see and read and hear about how it's addressed with Nick Sirianni in that locker room. I'm sure he will get fined in a significant way. I don't know what the collective bargaining agreement will allow the team to do. But in the meantime, the Cowboys took advantage of it. They were able to move the football. Even in the second half, when they didn't score, it wasn't because they weren't able to move the football. They moved the football, but they just couldn't stop with the self-inflicted mistakes. The fumble by Miles Sanders as they were getting ready to go in and potentially take the lead right before the lightning delay. The drop by CeeDee Lamb on their first possession on a third down right in his hands. The drop by CeeDee Lamb on the long post in that fourth quarter, late fourth quarter, and then on that final fourth down. You know, I don't know if that will be registered as a drop, but it was certainly a catchable ball by a guy who's considered to be in that next tier after the high elite tier. I've said this before about CeeDee Lamb. I like him. I've never loved him, but that's not been his issue necessarily. You know, he took accountability afterwards, and Dak Prescott certainly didn't bury him, and that's not his style to do anyway. But those drops cost the Cowboys, and the fumble by Miles Sanders cost the Cowboys a chance to win that game. There were a couple of really interesting moments. The big run by Miles Sanders in the third quarter, what a play by Zach Bond to run him down. And then how about the play after the Sanders fumble by Dak Prescott to save a touchdown, tackling Quinyon Mitchell. Pretty good opener. I mean, really, it was competitive. The first half was compelling. Their best player, arguably, certainly their best player on defense, not on the field. And Jalen Hurts, man, I mean, he just is a winner. I can't stand the Eagles. I can't stand Sirianni. I can't stand the fan base. Jalen Hurts is just a winner. He just does whatever he needs to do to give his team the best chance of winning. What were my other notes from last night? Jahan Dotson had a big catch in the game. They've got him back on punts. They've got him playing a lot. He is right now their third receiver. He's in there in all the three wide receiver sets. I remember just a few weeks ago, there was some discussion after they signed John Metchie that maybe they would cut Dotson. In fact, they talked about this during the broadcast and even some of the pregame, that Dotson, they believe, has really grown over the last year. He's got talent. He's always had talent. Maybe there's just, you know, and was a lack of maturity issue. Maybe he'll realize it. Hopefully not in Philadelphia. On Dallas's side, you know, the drops by CeeDee Lamb were devastating, but God, does he get separation, man. Does he win? And certainly, Philadelphia's got an issue on the opposite corner of Quinyon Mitchell. That'll be something to watch during the early portion of the season. I also thought a back that I've always liked. I was a big fan of Javonte Williams coming out of North Carolina when he got drafted by Denver in the second round. He's had injuries. That's really been his issue. That first year when, by the way, Vic Fangio was his head coach in Denver, he was a really good back as a rookie in that 21 season. That was the season that Flacco was the quarterback in Denver for a big portion of the season. And they lost all those close games early. But one of the reasons they had a chance to win a lot of those games was Javonte Williams. His problem is he's missed a lot of games and hasn't had the opportunity with some of the other backs they had to get back in as the regular guy. I think that the combination of Sanders and Javonte Williams, and we didn't see the rookie Jaden Blue, but I think we're going to, I think Dallas's running back situation is better. Week one, always a fool's gold, you know, week. It's really hard to determine anything out of week one, but I thought overall those teams were pretty solid, you know, in terms of the way they looked in the first half, and then defensively they really got out of it. Here's another note real quickly. They got after it in the second half. Marshawn Nealon, before he got hurt last year in his rookie season, was a player that played at a high level. People really liked him. Number 94 for Dallas. He was a second-round pick out of Western Michigan. I thought he was outstanding last night for the Cowboys. Oh, one last note. I bet you Cowboy fans are not thrilled with Javonte Williams wearing number 33. Now, you Cowboy fans would have to let me know this. I don't think the Cowboys retire jerseys. I think they've got the protected thing going. I think Tony Dorsett's jersey has been protected. I might be wrong. You might give me five guys that have worn 33. But it looked strange as a longtime NFL fan and as a Skins-Cowboys rivalry, you know, historian. When you see 33 out there, it seems to be a little bit off. I'm surprised. Maybe you Cowboy fans can let me know about that. I wonder how Javonte Williams got to wear Tony Dorsett's number. I thought that that would have been a number that would have been protected. Now, 88's been worn after, you know, all these years. Drew Pearson, obviously, and then, you know, Irvin, et cetera. It's been sort of a tradition to give those 88s out. But I thought that that looked strange. All right, one game in the books. We got a game tonight in Brazil. No more, you know, stadium talk, no more name talk, at least for the time being. No more holdout or hold in or trade request talk. We got games. We got one from last night. We got one coming up on tonight in Brazil. We've got 13 more on Sunday and then one on Monday night to finish up the season. So we do want to get everybody on record. What is your Washington record prediction for 2025? Max and I on the show yesterday did the second half of our NFL predictions. We did AFC on Wednesday. We did our NFC predictions on yesterday's show. And we both have Washington in the Super Bowl out of the NFC. Max has Washington facing off against Baltimore, right? And I have Washington facing off against the Chiefs. We'll give you the winner, the Super Bowl winning pick, later on in the show. But right now, I want at 301-230-0980, I want your Washington 2025 final season record prediction with one bold footnote. I'll give you mine. Max will give you his when we come back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, you can watch us on our Team 980 YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button and hit the like button when you get there.